Good evening, and we're delighted to welcome you to our evening service of the Henderson Church in Henderson, Tennessee. And we are grateful for not only each and every one of our members. Earlier today, we had more than 400 that were in attendance for our morning service. And we are getting closer and closer, hopefully, to our full range of services. We will be having classes for our little ones this coming Wednesday evening, June 17th, and so we are really looking forward to that. But we also are very grateful for each of you who join us each week from different places across the country and even other places in the world. We're very thankful for your support and your encouragement of the preaching of the gospel that is synonymous with the Henderson Church, and we are grateful for that, of course. Our theme, as Roy began our emphasis this morning on the gentleness of God, our theme for the day is the topic of gentleness. And as you can see perhaps from the title on screen, I've perhaps done a little play on words and saying, I want to be a gentle man, or I want to be a gentleman. But what I'm trying to suggest is the quality of gentleness that is the eighth of nine fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is our theme for tonight, about basically what it is and how we get there as members of the family of God. We must have left the works of the flesh, and we are day by day developing the fruits of the Spirit. And number eight on the list, right before self-control, is gentleness. Now, the text that you're looking at is a text that we're going to see in a few moments that is going to help us get there, about developing a more Christ-like, gentle, or another word for gentleness in the New Testament text is meekness. But that is not a word that means weakness. We're going to look at the definition of the term from the Greek text in a moment. But look at this verse first. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the gentleness of wisdom. You know, it's amazing how you can read a verse over and over and over again, and you might notice major words, prominent words, like the word wisdom. But that word that precedes wisdom is easy for us to overlook. So in the gentleness of wisdom. What did James, the half-brother of the Lord, have in mind when he, by inspiration of God, wrote that verse? I want us to begin tonight looking at this Greek word that is called praeotes, and it is a word that means gentle. It is a word, not the only word for gentle in the New Testament, but it'd be the word that was used most frequently. And here is the meaning of the term in terms of three different areas and text that support the idea. First of all, someone who is praeotes or gentle is someone who is submissive to the will of God. When Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Again, that means a certain kind of strength. It does not mean a certain kind of weakness. And then in Matthew 11, 29, he reminds his disciples that he is gentle and lowly in heart as he extends to them and to us the great invitation. Another meaning of the word is teachable in all good things. When you work with young people, and in particular when coaches work with their young athletes, it is not unusual for someone to say, he or she is very teachable, or he or she is very coachable. And then, unfortunately, there are those about whom you cannot say that. They have already learned it all. They know it all. There is nothing else new to learn or to develop, no new quality to add to your Christian life. But gentleness means being willing to be taught what you have not known before, even if it means that you change your mind or you change your view concerning a certain subject, you are teachable according to what is the truth of God. And then the third meaning of the word is you're considerate to your fellow human beings, as in Galatians 5:23, when Paul uses gentleness as the eighth out of those nine great words and attributes known as the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you will look at all three of these, here's what you find. In the first one, it deals with our relationship with God. If I want to be a person of gentleness, I've got to be submissive to the will of God. If I want to be teachable in myself in terms of receiving information from other people, being willing to be a student all the days of my life, even though you may teach, you're still teachable yourself. That is being gentle in the eyes of God. And then if you are considerate to the needs, to the wants even, to the wishes, especially to the well-being of your fellow human beings, as was the case in Luke 10 with the Good Samaritan, then you've developed the fruit of the Spirit known as gentleness. Now here's what the word, even going back to the Old Testament, the Greek Old Testament, would render the word as gentle strength. I point out to you a verse that I think we all love, Proverbs 16:32. The man who can control his spirit, some would render that as temper, one who can control his spirit is better than one who conquers or captures a city. In control of ourselves is one of the most important qualities of being a child of God. And again, a picture that the Greeks would use, going back to Aristotle, would be that of a wild stallion, a bronco, if you please, who has never been trained, never been broken, never been ridden, and then through a course of development exercises is trained, is taught, is broken, and becomes a beautiful animal for riding purposes, a beautiful colt. And so that's the idea here of someone who is gentle and who follows the instructions and directions of its master. Now, in the New Testament, again, here are some specific ways in which the word gentleness is used. The way that we receive the Word of God, James 1:21, receive the Word of God with gentleness of spirit, which is able, the Word of God, which is able to save your souls. Secondly, we must approach those in error, Galatians 6:1. If someone's overtaken with a fault, those of you who are spiritual, treat him with gentleness, bringing him back to the truth. We must correct opponents with gentleness. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. The servant of God must not be quarrelsome, but he must be gentle, so that by the grace of God, those in error may be brought back to a knowledge of the truth. We must answer for our hope of heaven with gentleness. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ in your hearts as Lord, being ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and with respect. People do not have a great deal of respect for those who are loud and boisterous and who are bold and arrogant to the point of their view is the only view to be considered and there's nothing new to be learned or taught. We've got to be gentle as well as respectful of the feelings as well as the interest and background of other people as we bring them to a knowledge of the Word of God. And then the last one is our beautiful ladies in the church, all through church history and certainly true today, precious in the sight of God, are women who possess a quiet and gentle spirit. It doesn't mean that they never use their tongues or their vocabulary, far from it, but there is a control, there is a gentleness over their tongue and over their spirit that is precious in the sight of God. And if we have hope of going to heaven, who does not want to be regarded as precious in God's sight. Now, I want us to turn to this little verse of James 3:13 about four steps of how to get there, of how to develop gentleness. First of all, this verse says, who is wise among you? Now, there's a relationship later in this verse between gentleness and wisdom. James 3, verse 13, and the very first expression, the question is, who is wise among you? And he's not going to leave it a question. He's going to provide the answer even all the way through verse 18 of that great text. I'm suggesting here, first of all, that in order for us to be people of gentleness, not weaklings, but gentle strength, people who can be strong and yet maintain control in their dealings with themselves, in their dealings with others, in their dealings with even crises, and in particular, with their dealings with God. Okay, here are some of the verses that we can view that talk about we've got to be a people who are looking, that we are searching for what God wants from us, searching for God Himself. And when in the book of Jeremiah, when the nation of Israel was about to go off into 70 years of exile in Babylon, Jeremiah, speaking for God, said that after 70 years, you will be brought back to your homeland. You will seek me and find me when you search with me with all of your heart. Goes on to promise other promises after that statement. But God wants us to find him. He is not hiding from us. He really is everywhere at the same time. The Lord in the Sermon on the Mount said, seek and you will find. And then in Acts 17:27-28, when Paul was coming to the middle part of the great Sermon on Mars Hill, he says that they, referring to men of the earth, all people, they should seek God and find him, for he is not far from each one of us, for it is in him that we live and move and have our very being. Those people gathered that day to listen to him in Athens, Greece, did not know the one true God of heaven. And Paul is basically delivering a masterpiece as he says, the God that you do not know, I have come to declare unto you. And what a beautiful expression to say, not only he's not far from us, but it is in him that we take every breath, that we make every move and motion, and that we have our very existence or our very being. Secondly, this little verse suggests that the person who is going to be gentle with wisdom, who has understanding among you? And we're using the term from James 3 and the second part of verse 13 to suggest following a seeking heart, there has got to be a sound mind. This is a term that is used often in the New Testament, talking about soundness of faith, talking about soundness of judgment, talking about the soundness of wisdom, if it is the wisdom from above, and that's what's being discussed here. The one who has understanding among you is one who has sought after God, who has found God, and who now is developing his mind to know the will of God. This is the ability to be wise in the making of decisions, as well as in the making of choices, especially when we are under pressure. Sometimes that pressure might be from a certain dominant personality that is overbearing. Sometimes it might be pressure from a circumstance or a situation or, again, a crisis. Someone has suggested that we learn the most outside the Word of God. We learn most from wise people, another word for understanding. We learn most from wise people as well as from our experiences in pain. We don't wish the pain. We don't want the pain. We want this virus to go away forever. But there are going to be a multitude of lessons that are learned from it. It is the way that God has so constructed us as well as the world in which we live. Here are two essentials for a sound mind. You've got to be taught what is right. You know, when you come to the matter of conscience, when Paul says, I have lived in all good conscience till this day, even when he was persecuting the saints in Jerusalem, he was doing so with a good conscience. He thought he was doing the right thing. His conscience had been taught the wrong thing. So we can trust our conscience only when it has been taught according to the truth. And then, not only must we know what is right, but we have to have the courage to choose what we know to be right constantly and consistently. How many people have you known, as you may have tried to talk with them about the Lord and teach them, how many times have you heard it said, you don't understand, I know what is right, but I don't want to do what is right. And if we're honest, how many times have you and I said things similar to that? I know what the truth is. I know what God's will is. I know what is right in the eyes of God. I just don't want to do that. Therefore, we are not candidates for the gentle strength, not yet, gentle strength that God is talking about in this expression. Thirdly, James says in this little verse, the third part of the verse, he should show his works by his good choices. There's a few words right there, but a whole lot of thoughts. I'm calling this a selfless life. I have read tributes even today. In looking forward to Father's Day next week, of men who have lived absolutely selfless lives in front of their families. And you know, the thing that makes a great person like that, especially a great saint, a great child of God, they have developed their character, Christ-like character if they're a Christian, and what they do and what they teach, they are often unaware of. They just go about doing what is the right thing to do, what is the honest thing to do, what is the truthful thing to do. So this is what he's talking about. Gentleness is shown in Christ-like character. What is character? It's not reputation. It's what you are. It's what you are at all times, at all hours, no matter where you are or with whom you're with. Christ-like character that produces works of faith, works of obedience, and works of service to God. You know, the best way to serve God is to serve people. And we have countless opportunities day by day, from the beginning of the day all the way through into the night, to be a servant. And there are times when, yes, we need the service of other people. We need the help of other people. We can't always make it by ourselves. And so we have to give people the opportunity to be servants. But this is what is involved in the gentleness and the self-control that is associated with wisdom. Now, when we develop this Christ-like character and this selflessness instead of selfishness, boy, are we a selfish people. But when we become a selfless people, we show encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we also display a positive impression upon a watching world who will not read the Bible, but they will watch you and the way that you act and the way that you react and the way that you overreact will send a very strong message to them if you claim to be a child of God. There must be a seeking heart. There must be a sound mind that leads to a selfless life. It's a conscious decision that we make. I am going to be selfless, not selfish, by the grace of God. And then number four, a gentle spirit. Now we're getting to the end product of the subject and the quality of gentleness. In the fourth expression of this one verse, James says he should show his works in the gentleness of wisdom. Okay, we've already defined gentleness as going from a wild buck or a wild bronco, a wild horse that has absolutely no constraint and no one can control it because it's a beautiful animal, but if it's not controlled, it's a beastly animal with tremendous power, from which we get the term horse power. But when that horse is broken and becomes gentle, then you can enjoy it for your work, you can enjoy it for your travel, you can enjoy it for your pleasure, you can enjoy simply its companionship. And how many of us love horses for all of those reasons? The gentleness of being a wise person who is in control and therefore is calm rather than out of control. Someone who does not lose it with every opportunity that they have to lose control, but rather who takes control, keeps control. You know, I was listening to sports talk earlier today about an interview the other night with the commissioners of the four major sports in America. One commissioner was complimented in particular by the reporter as saying, "He is the best man I have ever known for having his own position, but willing to listen equally to the position of others." Some of us, maybe most of us, get very defensive when someone challenges our position. But if we have wisdom, we will listen and we will respond according to the truth that we have been taught. Gentle means it may be my power, but it's my power under God's control. When I came up out of the waters of baptism, I began a growth process where I'm turning thoughts and words and feelings as well as actions over to the leadership of God. Do I do that perfectly? No. Do I hope to get there someday? Yes. But not there yet. We're works in progress. And so, my power under God's control. Well, what are some examples of that? Let's just think for a moment about dealing with unreasonable people. I'm telling you, everybody can be pushed to the point and pressed to the point where that pressure button is about to be slammed because you can't take it anymore. That will be a real test when you deal with unreasonable people. But I wonder if you can maintain your control over a period of time with unreasonable people, is it possible that they could become reasonable? Not running over you, but becoming more considerate of your strength, your control of your own power. Then when we face an unexpected pressure, even a crisis, I have thought about a series of events that we've had here in Henderson in 2020. I think everybody would like to start the year 2020 all over again. Let's give it another shot. We've had so much to go wrong so far, even in the midst of still being a very blessed people. But we've had crisis. We've had unexpected pressure. Who could have ever envisioned all of us being told to stay home, don't leave, don't do this, don't do that, to the risk of being able to maintain your positions where you make your living? We face unexpected pressure, even crisis. Are we people of a gentle spirit? That doesn't mean weak, it means power. And then when we experience unforeseen good fortune, you know what I mean? When somebody is blessed, maybe with a huge inheritance, or maybe they were one of those that went on, "Do You Want to Be a Millionaire?" or something like that. And they actually won. And everything about their life changed, not necessarily for the better. But they came into unforeseen good fortune. Did it change them or did it make them better? Was it worse for them or did it make them better in terms of how they viewed people, themselves, and God? And then the last one, when we make a firm yet gentle stand for the truth. Please don't get the wrong idea. The truth is the strongest force in the universe. And when we have the truth, we don't have to lose our temper. We don't have to lose control of our spirit. We don't have to lose control of our words and our gestures and our mannerisms and all of these things that define us. But rather, under control, knowing that the truth is on our side and that the Lord is on our side and we have it before us on the pages of His book, we can respond to those who may lose their temper, who may lose their calm, who may lose their control and say things and do things that they'll forever regret. Again, give a reason for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and with respect for that other person. So, what is the eighth quality in the list of fruit of the Spirit? Paul calls it gentleness. And here's how we get there. The gentleness of wisdom is seen in a seeking heart that develops a sound mind, living a selfless life, displayed by a gentle spirit, a spirit of strength under control. May the Lord bless each and every one of us to read and reread not only the story of the Lord Himself when He was upon the earth, the gentle shepherd, the one who maintained control when everyone and every foe in the world opposed Him, was faithful to His Father and kept His calm in fulfilling His Father's will. And this is why here tonight we're calling Him our Savior, our Lord, and our friend. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we continue our studies. Thank you for joining us, and we invite you to be with us not only on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, but for live stream at 6 on Wednesdays of a class here in the auditorium of the Henderson Church, where you're always welcome to come and study and worship with us. Let's pause for prayer. Dear Father, we thank You for the beauty of life and the blessings of life every day. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for the blessing of being taught by those who loved us and who still love us and who are still teaching us the way of the Lord more perfectly. We thank You for this expression, the gentleness of wisdom. May we prove to be wise, and may we show that wisdom by the gentleness of our spirit that can only be developed by walking in the footsteps of Jesus, in whose name we pray.